Start the recording. Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jaipur conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Shakti on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 2nd Chapter, 28th verse. Today, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. We were missing you in middle, and one week was gone, Prabhu. We missed a lot your wonderful PPT and your class, Prabhuji. Please now take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you all very much for joining today's session and giving me this opportunity to share on Srimad Bhagavatam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Dharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, today we will continue discussion from Srimad Bhagavatam. 6th Canto, 2nd Chapter, 28th verse. I apologize. I could not have the commitment last time because of my ill health. But I miss these sessions very much because the association is very, very inspiring association, very sweet. One of the forums where you really like to share Krishna Katha, the eagerness is unprecedented. And every single day coming together for Japa, coming together for Krishna Katha, and so many further, Chaitanya Bhagavat and the children's program and Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita and Bhagavatam overview and whatnot. This is a very, I feel very, very inspired and empowered in this association. You go over time and then still devotees have all the time for questioners and discussions. This is actually really amazing. I actually honestly miss the association. So I feel very, very fortunate and honored to in this August assembly. It's very, very inspiring. So thank you all very much for again giving me this opportunity. This is very full. So we will continue our discussion and 6th canto, 2nd chapter, 28th verse, where Ajamil is repenting for his past misdeeds. We will read the verse, stand the verse, read the translation and purport, and then see what we can learn from this verse and section. So I will read the verse and I'll chant the verse and read the translation. Give me just a second. Okay. Vriddhavanatau pitarau nanya bhandu tapasvinau aho mayaduna tyaktau akrittagyena nichavat. So, my father and mother were old and had no other son or friend to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition. Ajamil is lamenting. So this is what happens when verification happens. We will talk on this subject matter a little bit more, little later. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's a short purport. Srila Prabhupada says, according to Vedic civilization, everyone has the responsibility for taking care of brahmanas, old men, women, children and cows. This is the duty of everyone, especially an upper class person. Because of his association with a prostitute, Ajamil abandoned all his duties. Regretting this, Ajamil considered himself quite fallen. So, We'll start the discussion now. That's a short purport. I was thinking what I could speak on because it has been quite some time. We did a, I don't know. I mean, I thought we will start with a quick recap of what we have seen in this chapter. Because, you know, so that we can gain some momentum to discuss the subject matter for the day. You know, just a week. I know you have been hearing this every day, but I just thought, you know, just a quick bird's eye view of what we have seen till now in this chapter. And then towards the end, we will definitely discuss on a subject matter of the verse. Okay. So I will do a quick recap. So kindly bear with me. So overview of the chapter till now. So if you remember in the first in the chapter of the sixth canto, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, where the whole section starts with Parikshit Maharaj asking, can people escape this hellish suffering? And in response to this, Shukadev Goswami tests Parikshit Maharaj by telling, follow the path of Prayaschitta. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately rejects it. Then he suggests the path of Jnana, which is also not accepted by Parikshit Maharaj. And subsequently, Srila Shukadev Goswami suggests, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudevayana Agham Dunvanti Katsnena Niharamyo Bhaskaraha. He suggests the path of Bhakti. And then stresses that how the path of bhakti, which is especially characterized by chanting the holy name, is so powerful. And in trying to establish that point, he presents the story of Ajamil. And Ajamil's story we all know. He was a nice Brahmana, but subsequently he saw a low-born Rudra enjoying with a prostitute in the middle of the forest. So his heart got contaminated. He could not dhyayato vishayan pum sam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama. The whole thing started. So then subsequently, you know, he went after that prostitute and married her or lived with her, begot children, neglected the parents, neglected his brahminical duties, gives a brahminical profession. Then in order to maintain that prostitute and his children begotten through her, he resorted to all kinds of sinful living. And eventually the time for death arrived. In the meantime, he begot a child by the name Narayana, the last child, when he was close to 80 years old. And he named him Narayana. And right when it was time for him to give up his body, the Yamadutas came to take him. And he got really scared. So he chanted, he called out for his son, Narayana. As soon as he chanted the name Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas also reached there. Four Vishnu Dutas reached there. And then the Vishnu Dutas stopped the Yamadutas taking Ajamil to hell. And the Yamadutas became completely fused. They asked the Vishnu Dutas, who are you? Why are you stopping us from this sinful person? You seem to be like very good people, pious people. Why are you encouraging this impious act? So then the Vishnu Duta asked, what is the problem here? What exactly has this Ajamil done? Can you please explain, you know, why you are taking this, or why you want to take this Ajamil away? So then actually the Vishnu Duta explained. So actually they asked, what is dharma according to you? So on what principles, based on what principles are you taking this Ajamil back? So they, very beautiful presentation of Dharma by the Yamadutas, actually, very perfect presentation. You know, how sin is committed, why sin is committed, and who is the witness for all these sins. So how there is a very robust system, no one can escape, no one is punished, even an iota more than what they deserve. And any kind of sinful activity is very keenly observed, and not even a small sinful activity, one can escape the reaction for that. So they gave a big list of the story. This is what Ajamil had done. And he has not atoned for any of his sins. So we are going to take him back. So if you see, actually, the presentation of the Yamadutas to the question of Vishnu Dutas was very, very comprehensive. Very comprehensive presentation. And very convincing presentation. So you cannot actually... you cannot refute it. So, and I am sure this must have been a very unique situation for the Yamadutas. No one, people were generally just scared of looking at the Yamadutas, and they would go to take people to hell. This was the first time someone asked them about dharma, and they got an opportunity to speak about dharma. And they must have been pretty proud about the way they presented dharma. They must have felt that, oh, my master Yamaraj must have been very happy hearing this comprehensive presentation. You know, there is absolutely no loopholes left. So they must have felt that the Vishnudutas would offer their obeisances and very gladly hand over Ajamil to them, because they left actually no loopholes in their presentation of the Siddhanta. So neither was there any Siddhantic flaw in what they presented, nor was there any historical flaw. You know, they did not mispresent the history of Ajamil. They very perfectly presented the history of Ajamil, and they very perfectly presented the Siddhanta based on which they had come to take Ajamil back to hell. So they must have been pretty proud of their own presentation. But the Vishnuduta's response was something which must have shaken them. So the second chapter starts with Shukadev Goswami giving a prelude. He says, Evam te Bhagavad-duta Yamadutabhi Bhashitam Upadharya Atat Rajan Pratyahur Nayakovida. O Rajan, Shukadev Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj. He says, O Rajan, Bhagavad-duta, the servants of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu-dutas, Nayakovida. So it is mentioned that they were expert in the rules of conduct. So one should not think that they were inappropriately acting. So therefore, here they are addressed as Nayakovida. They were expert in the rules of conduct. Evam pratyahu, they responded in this way. Ata upadharya, after hearing, tan yamaduta abhibhashitam. After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, the Vishnudutas responded in this way. So this conversation between the Yamadutas and Vishnudutas is a classic case of being educated in two different levels of, in two different shastras. Whatever the Yamadutas presented about Ajamil on the basis of Dharma Shastras was perfect. The only problem was that the Yamadutas were not conversant with the Bhakti Shastras. So now, this presents a very strange case of Ajamil, where, you know, whatever they presented was perfect. The only problem was that the case of Ajamil cannot be dealt with based on the Dharma Shastras. What they did not know was the glory of the holy name. Just by his chanting the the name of his son Narayana, how imperceptible even to Ajamil himself, that how he had elevated himself from the level of Dharma Shastras to actually Bhakti Shastras. In fact, not even Dharma Shastras. He was being punished based on the Dharma Shastras, but actually he had given up even the Dharma Shastra. So he had fallen much lower than the level of Dharma Shastras. So on the basis of Dharma Shastras, he was being punished. But Ajamil was not even qualified for Dharma Shastra because he had given up all kinds of Brahminical practices. So he was fit to be punished and severely punished. You know, the future was not very bright, Ajamil, according to the Yamadutas. But what they did not realize is that they, is imperceptibly Ajamil had elevated himself from a platform lower than the Dharma Shastras to the level of Bhakti Shastras. How did this strange thing happen? I mean, I don't know in the United States, but in if you are traveling by train, you know, when you are booking the ticket, there is a provision, you know, you can mark if you are booking second AC, you can mark if you want to upgrade it or not. You know, if there is a chance, if there is an extra seat available if you are booking third AC, you know, if there is a ticket available in second AC, they may upgrade among so many other people who have booked along with you in third AC. You may get upgraded to second AC. So he comes, he checks the chart and he sees that his name is not there. Okay. You know, the one traveling. What he doesn't realize is that, so this would mean that he is doing ticketless travel. But what he did not realize is that he's not doing ticketless travel, just that his name has been upgraded from third AC to second AC. You know, he is now entitled for no additional payment. He is entitled to travel with little more comforts, actually. Right? So just that the Yamadutas were not aware of the Bhakti Shastras, of the intricacies of Bhakti. So now the Yamadutas spoke from the platform of Dharma Shastras, very perfect presentation. Now Vishnu Dutas are going to drop a bomb. While the Yamadutas must have expected that the Vishnu Dutas would probably appreciate them and happy hand over Ajamil, what happened next was something quite different. So the Vishnu Dutas said, Sri Vishnu Duta Uchuhu Aho Kashtam Dharma Drisham Adharma Sprishat Sabham Yatra Adandeshu Apapeshu Dandoyair Driyate Vrita. So now, without giving any explanation, they immediately start firing the Yamadutas. They say, Aho Kashtam, see what a calamity. Adharma Sprishate. This Adharma, Dharma Drisham Sabam, Adharma Sprishate. Adharma has touched this assembly of the authorities. And you people are supposed to be the authorities of Dharma, or at least the representatives of the authority of Dharma, Dharmaraj. But how could this adharma touch this assembly? Yatra dandaha vrita driyate, where punishment is unnecessarily being given, apapeshu, to sinless, a dandeshu to a person who is not supposed to be punished. I mean, this is something. See, I mean, this must be a joke, they must have thought. A papeshu, a dandeshu, whom are you talking about? You're talking about Ajamil? You're telling that he is sinless? He is not fit to be punished? Come on, you know, took so much of our time and heard about what dharma is. You did not refute. We presented, apart from that, we presented the history of Ajamil. And we clearly mentioned that he has not formed any prayaschitta. On top of that, you are telling that he is apapeshu adandyeshu. Vrita dhriyate. Vrita dhriyate. He is dandaha. Where he is unnecessarily being punished. How could you say this? So, Shiloshna Jagat commenting on this, he says, we know you are the servants of Yama, but why do you speak such nonsense? Right? I mean, this must have been mind-boggling to them. Understand the authority of the king of dharma to be of opposite quality. You know, so Dharmaraj is supposed to act according to dharma, but why is he acting in this adharmic way? Is this a problem with your master, or are you properly executing the instructions of your master? That is expressed in this verse. We have never heard such facts till now. Aho, like that. What will happen to the people by such injustice? So the Yamadutas, you know, they must have been bamboozled. So they say, who are you to criticize? What are you criticizing? It is our job. Our master has told us to bring. These are the principles, and based on the principles, we are going to take back this Ajamil. Who are you to criticize us, and why are you criticizing us? So, in response, the Vishnuduta says, they say, please listen to what we say. Adharma is contaminating the assembly of those who judge dharma. They see dharma as adharma. In this assembly, punishment is allotted to persons without sin, who should not be punished. The assembly is displaying adharma. This is what they are telling. You are displaying adharma. This is strange. They might think, the Yamadutas might think, this is quite strange. We have perfectly presented what is dharma. And we have presented the history of Ajamil. I mean, after hearing all this, you have the audacity to tell that we are acting in an unjust way. So then they don't stop here. They say, Prajanam pitaro yecha shastarasadavasamaha yadisyateshu vaishamyam kamyanti sharanam prajaha ye prajanam pitaraha. You know, Yamaraj is supposed to be the protector of his citizens. Shastaraha, he is supposed to be the instructor. Sadavaha, he is supposed to be endowed with proper character. Samaha, and he is supposed to be equal in happiness and distress. He must be equipoised. These are the qualities of a leader. Yadisya teshu vaishamyam. When the leader starts showing opposite qualities, kamyanti sharanam prajaha, where will the citizens go for protection? If the protector ceases to protect the citizens, if they cease to properly instruct the citizens, if they are no longer endowed with proper character, and if they are no longer equal in happiness and distress, if they show such contrary qualities, then where will the citizens go for protection? So they say, please listen, we have heard that your master is the protector who implements laws, possesses good qualities and is equal to all. We have heard about Yamaraj in such glowing words. why has this now become untrue? Why has this now become untrue? The leader should be a father showing affection. He should be an instructor of laws to teach dharma. He should be proper in character to benefit all people. And he should be equal, taking his own happiness and distress equally. These are the qualities of a leader. The opposite is a protector who gives suffering to the people, who, even though a teacher does not teach adharma to his servants, who, even though of proper character, does not act for everyone's benefit, and though equipoise, is ignorant of others' suffering. This is what your master is doing. Instead of protecting the people, he is giving suffering to people. Like Ajamil. He is supposed to instruct his subordinates in proper dharma. But see what he has taught you. He has not taught you proper dharma. He is supposed to exhibit proper character. So he is not exhibiting proper character. And he is supposed, because he is not acting for everyone's benefit. By not teaching you proper dharma, he has not acted for your benefit. And by asking you to arrest this Ajamil, he is not acting for the benefit of a sinless, innocent person who is not fit to be punished at all. And how could he be so callous to other people's suffering? Even in material law, even in the principles of material justice, in this material world, the law says many people who are fit to be punished may escape punishment, but one sinless person should not be unnecessarily punished. This is what, even in the material world, material law, according to material law, this is the principle. You know, the system of justice may allow a few criminals to escape, but the system of justice cannot punish a sinless person unnecessarily. So if this is the material law, amongst fallible people who are not bound by any shastric dharma, so even if they follow such principles, how could Dharmaraj himself choose to punish a sinless person like Ajamil? This is a disaster for the public, and this is intolerable for us. This is what they say. Yadyad acharati shreyan itarastatva vihate sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate. By acting in this way, Yamaraj is not just punishing, he is not just punishing an innocent person, but he is setting the wrong example for common people. He is a shreyan, he is an excellent man, he is a person who looked up to by common people. If he is acting in this kind of an adharmic way, sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanu vartate, whatever standard he sets will be accepted by common people. So if Dharmaraj is acting like this, then common people will also become adharmic very quickly. Yasyanke shira adhaya loka swapiti nirbrataha swayam dharmam adharmam va nahi veda yata pashuhu sakatam nyarpitatmanam krita maitram achetanam vishrambaniyo bhutanam sagruno dogdumarhati. So they're asking, lokaha, common people, yata pashuhu, common people are just like animals, pet animals. Swapiti nirvrutaha, sleeping peacefully, yasya anke shira adaya, with their heads on the lap of their master. I'm not sure if you have had this experience. If at GEV, Govardhaniko village, Goshala, we used to have, we still have, they have grown up quite a bit, Kanai, Balai, these bulls and many other bulls. Some of them, you go there to you know, massage them and scratch them and give them a massage. You know, sometimes you go and sit, they will come and sit next to you. And if you start, you know, scratching their, you know, what do you call this? The neck, they will slowly, and you pull their head, they will put their head on your lap and they'll start sleeping and you can hear them snoring actually. You know, especially in such a protected environment where, you know, they gain full trust in their caretakers. You know, they'll be fully willing to put their head on your lap and sleep actually. You know, we have recordings of how they snore actually. They do snore. So therefore here the Vishnu Dutas are telling common people are like animals. You know, they have full trust in their master. They will come and put their head on the lap of the master and sleep peacefully. Swayam nahi veda. Such common people do not know dharma and adharma. They are dependent on their master. The master is supposed to know dharma and adharma. Katam sa saghrinaha. Saghrinaha means compassionate. But how can the compassionate leader, the leader who has commanded such a trust from his subordinates, how can such a compassionate leader, vishrambaniyo bhutanam, who should have the trust of all beings, dogdumarhati, how could he give pain? Krita maitram nyarpitatmanam. How could he give pain to those subordinates who have surrendered to him in friendship? In all good trust, they have surrendered to him with the hope that here is a leader who will take care of me. So how could the leader, who is supposed to be compassionate, you know, they are willing to give their heads in the lap of the leader. How can, when they least expect, how can the leader take a knife and chop their head? This is what your master is doing. And Vishnu Dutas must be wondering, the Yamadutas must be wondering, who is the cow here? I mean, you're talking about this Ajamil? He is an innocent fellow. He's not fit to be punished. And our master is unjustly cutting his head. What? I mean, what are you talking about? So they are outright accusing Yamaraj for betraying the trust of their subordinates, trust of his subordinates. Because of the betrayal of trust, we speak of further adharma. Why should he trust the leader? The leader should be worthy of being trusted and should be compassionate to all beings. So now, after completely bewildering the Yamadutas, because till now, they have just accused the Yamadutas, but they have not given any reason on what basis they are speaking like this. On what exact rule are you telling that, Ajamil is sinless, he is not fit to be punished? What adharma you are talking about? We have spoken adharma, we have spoken about what is dharma, we have very clearly presented what Ajamil has done. Ajamil's history, there is no mistake in presenting Ajamil's history, there is no mistake in presenting the dharma that we have learned from our master. After doing all this, guess what? We have never bothered to give explanation to anyone till now before. No one has questioned us. You questioned us and we gave such a powerful presentation of dharma. And despite hearing all this, you have the audacity to say that Ajamil is sinless and we are unjustly taking it? On what basis you are speaking? So now the Vishnu Dutas say, विष्णु दूत से आयम ही कृत निर्वेशो जन्म कोटि अमहसामपि यद व्याजहार विवशो नाम स्वस्तेनम हरे हे. दिस पर्सन कृत निर्वेशो, he has performed all atonement. The Yamadutta is saying, when, where, we never saw him performing any atonement. We told you very clearly that how many people are there who are witnessing every sinful act and a pious act. None of them have witnessed. Yamaraja has not witnessed. When did he perform any atonement? Forget about all the atonement. When did he perform any atonement? He says, Janma Koti Amhasamapi. Now they are telling, he has performed atonement for the sins he has committed for 10 million births. When? Vivasho Vyajahara Harehe Swastyanam Nama. When he spontaneously and helplessly chanted the auspicious name of the Lord, at that time only all atonement was accomplished. No more atonement is needed for Ajamil. So, Sri Krishna Chakrakur says, so here the Yamadutas are telling, okay, Yamadutas are telling, you castigate us, but what offense have we and our master committed in taking away Ajamil to purify him? We very clearly told, punishment is for purification. We are taking him away to purify him. We are not bloodthirsty people, sadistic people who take great pleasure in seeing other people suffer. That is neither the purpose of Yamaraj nor is that the intention of all of us. We are going to take Ajamil to punish him, to purify him. Since he has performed no atonements for 1,000 great sins, they say, what do you mean? He has certainly performed atonement, not only for the sins of one life, but for 10,000 lives, since he has chanted the name of the Lord, even though it was unconsciously. He chanted the name of the Lord. The Smritis say, Namno hi yavati shakti hi papa nirharane hare he tavat kartum na shakti patakam pataki narah. A sinful man cannot commit as many sins as can be destroyed by the power of the Lord's name, Vishnu Puran says. So now, this is a classic case of two different people speaking from two different levels of Shastras. One is the Yamaduta speaking from the Dharma Shastra level, which is meant for Karma Adhikari or a person qualified for Karma. And here are the Vishnu Dutas who are indicating to the Yamadutas that Ajamil is no longer on that level. He has to be dealt with on the level of Bhakti Shastras and not Dharma Shastras. He has transcended the level of Dharma Shastras. While the Yamadutas are wondering, when did he even come to the level of Dharma Shastras? He was not even following Dharma Shastras. Now you are telling he has transcended Dharma Shastras. So such is the glory of the holy name. And then he quotes further verses are quoted about the glories of the holy name. Avashenapi yannamni kirtite sarva patakaihi puman vimuchyate sadyah simmatrasteir mrgairiva. You know, a human is freed from all sins when he chants the Lord's name, even unconsciously. The sins flee like animals frightened of a lion. So not only does chanting the Lord's name cause atonement, but is the cause of liberation also. Nama swasteyanam harehe. What to speak of destroying the reactions of sins? Chanting the holy name makes one qualified for liberation also. Skanda Puran says, Sakrit uccharitam yena harir iti akshara dvayam baddha parikarastena mokshaya gamanam prati. Whoever chants the two syllables ha, ri, only once is fit for attaining liberation. Once. Yannama sakrit shravanat pukkashopi vimuchyate samsara. Again, the sixth canto says, sakrit shravanat, once. So this must have been Greek and Latin for the Yamadutas, because the first time they were hearing about these things. So they say, ete naivahi agonosya kritam syat nishkritam yada narayanayati jagada chaturaksharam. Yada jagada etena chaturaksharam, when he first chanted the four syllables narayana iti, narayanaya iti aganishkritam syat, atonement was accomplished for akritam agonah, for all the sins that he had committed. Atonement was accomplished the very first time he chanted the name Narayana. The Yamadutas may say, but Ajamil did not chant with the awareness that this was atonement. When Ajamil named his child Narayana, did he know that, oh, I have committed so much sins, now I will name my child Narayana, so when I keep chanting Narayana, Narayana, all sins will be atoned for? Did he chant the holy name with the awareness that this was atonement? He just called out for his son because he was afraid of us. So, this is their argument. And this argument is typical argument from a person who does not understand the secret meaning of the Bhakti Shastras. So their question is very valid. When did he even chant? He did not even call for the Lord. He did not even know that chanting the name will lead to atonement. He just called for his son. So the Vishnu Duta say, you do not understand the truth. Being materialistic, you do not understand. Even by calling for his son while not seeking to make atonement, atonement of this sin was already accomplished. Yes, we don't deny he didn't, while not seeking to make atonement, atonement was already accomplished. Just chanting at this time for his son is the atonement of all his sins. However, previously he chanted in ungrammatical language. Oh Narayana, come here from your mother's lap to my lap. You know, even when in ungrammatical language, even it may not be chaturaksharam, but even dvi aksharam or eka aksharam. Like sometimes you call your, you use pet names to address, like I had a cousin brother by the name Narayana. So we never used to call him Narayana. We used to call him Naru, Nari, like that, you know, all those kinds of pet names, you know. Not even chaturaksharam, only dvi aksharam, only two syllables. So even at that time, he says atonement took place then. Not only chanting four syllables, but chanting the Lord's name in two syllables or even one syllable destroys all the sins. So in this context, if you remember, we discussed about the whole concept of chanting, you know, how the holy name is chanted at the stage of aparad, namabhas, shuddhanam, bhavanam and premanam, and how aparad is also, I'm not going to go in detail because we did discuss this in detail in one of the sessions in which I had discussed this point. So there is aparad performed by the atheists and Mayavadis, which is outright due to a malicious nature towards Krishna. And such kind of aparad performed by atheists and Mayavadis certainly leads to hell. This is one kind of aparad nam, but there is another kind of aparad nam which the devotees commit, which is essentially due to carelessness and due to incomplete sambandha jnana. So due to carelessness, you know, they do inattentive chanting those kind of things. They know it is wrong, but still they are not able to overcome it. So when devotees while they are properly chanting or while they are properly practicing bhakti, if they simultaneously commit these kind of offenses, it will not lead them to hell, but it will compromise their speed of progress in the path of bhakti, right? So bhakti is like a vector quantity. It has both you know, direction and magnitude. Okay, so if they, if by proper practice of bhakti, if they make 50 units of progress, and if by some offenses, if they lose 20 units of progress, then the net progress would be like 30 units. Okay, so their progress will be compromised, but certainly they will not go to hell unless they do very meager bhakti but very serious offenses. That they perform only 20 units of bhakti but 100 units of offenses. So in that sense, they will lose their qualification for bhakti only, and they will fall within this category. Then they would have become malicious people. Malicious people are habitual offenders. So they will become habitual offenders, then they will go to hell. Okay. Then we saw that there is Namabhas also, but Namabhas is such a interesting thing. It has multiple meanings. So Namabhas has this Shraddha Namabhas and Ashraddha Namabhas. So Shraddha Namabhas means where someone has faith in the holy name. Okay. And even the Shraddha Namabhas is of two types. One is Chaya Namabhas and Pratibimba Namabhas. Pratibimba Namabhas is where someone has faith in the holy name, but that faith is mixed with some karma, jnana, yoga, etc. So mixed devotional faith, people who have, they practice Pratibimba Namabhas, but people with pure faith, they practice Chaya Namabhas, like sadhakas. So when sadhakas consciously endeavor to overcome the offenses, that is called as Chaya Namabhas. And when they practice this Chaya Namabhas properly, this will eventually lead to Shuddhanam. And Shuddhanam is when by consciously trying to avoid the offenses, at some stage it becomes a second nature that they not at all offend even unconsciously. And then eventually the Shuddhanam becomes Bhavanam and then Premanam. Okay. So therefore, the path of a practicing devotee, even though, and then there is a thing called as Ashraddha Namabhas, which is the realm of Ajamil. So Ajamil falls in this category. You know, this is Ashraddha Namabhas, where there is no faith in the holy name only. Okay. But still, the strange case of Ajamil, where he had no offenses. He had no actually residue of offenses that he had committed. So this is a very rare, strange case of Ajamil. And within this category, you have Sanketyam, Parihasyam, Stobam, Helanam. You know, these kind of categories you have. So at the most, if it is completely free of offenses, you know, they may at the most achieve liberation, or it may lead to accumulation of Agyata Sukriti, and every, it may become pure faith. And if it's pure faith, then they become devotees. And if they become devotees, then from Aparadnam, they will come to Chaya Namabhas. And from Chaya Namabhas, they will come to the stage of Shuddhanam. From Shuddhanam, they will come to the stage of Bhavanam and Premanam. And that Premanam will manifest Rasa. You know, it will establish the relationship with the Krishna in one of the five rasas, right? This we saw. I don't want to go into detail. And then we did discuss this verse in detail for two full sessions, you know, two full sessions, almost like more than 4 hours. We discussed the purport commentary to this verse. Stenaha Surapo Mitradruk Brahma Guru Talpaga Tri Raja Pitru Gohanta Echa Patakino Pare Sarvesham api agavatam idam Sunishpatam. Nama Vyaharanam Vishnor Yatastad Vishayamatihi. So where he says that Tenaha, a thief, Surapo, you know, who is a drunkard, Mitradrug, one who cheats or betrays his own friend and so on, all serious kinds of offenses, you know, one who kills a cow, one who may kill a brahmana, one who may kill the king, you know, he says that Sarvesham api aghavatam idam eva sunisham. For all kinds of sinful activities, there is one atonement. Nama vyaharanam vishnor yatastad vishayamatihi. Chanting the holy name of Vishnu or Krishna, yatastad vishayamatihi, it atones for all the sins, because chanting that holy name makes Krishna actually jivonmukh. He starts very favorably thinking about that person. Oh, here is a person who has chanted my name. So he belongs to me and it is my responsibility to take care of him. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham, like the Krishna thinks. Okay. So, then we did see the mystery of Ajamil's deliverance. The whole episode of the mystery of Ajamil's deliverance was, explained in two full sessions. We saw this whole purport, but we didn't discuss, we had made a flow chart to summarize that whole thing. So I will not go through the commentary, but I will go through a quick recollection, 10-minute recollection of this purport. What we discussed in 4 hours, I will summarize it in 10 minutes and then we will move forward. So we saw the whole question of how can Namabhas destroy such grave sins, which even 12-year atonements cannot destroy, we saw this. Okay, just hold on for a second. There's some disturbance. Okay. So the answer was, actually, because chanting destroys the root cause of the sin, but these kind of atonements do not destroy the root cause of the sin. They only may offset the reaction to that sin. The the prarabdha and aprarabdha karma is addressed by atonement, but the desire to commit sin is not addressed by atonement. It is addressed by the holy name. That's why even Namabhas can destroy such grave sins. So the Vishnudutas say, the Lord sent us while Ajamil chanted Narayana. He just chanted Narayana even though he addressed his son. Then how much more the Lord will remember a person who chants with service attitude. And then the Vishnudutas say, you know what? The first time Ajamil called Narayana, all his sins were destroyed, actually. It's not that Ajamil's sins were destroyed the last time he chanted, before death he chanted. All his sins were destroyed the very first time he named his son Narayana and called him Narayana. Subsequent chanting created Agyata Sukriti, leading to Bhakti. Then the question arises, what about the repeated sins that Ajamil was performing after he first chanted? Then our understanding is, first time he chanted, all sins committed before was destroyed. Then subsequently he continued to perform sins. So then whatever sins he committed till the end of his life, the last chanting destroyed it. Is that the understanding? So Srila Vishnachakadagur says, no. Vaikunta namagrahanam asheshagaharam viduhu. Later we will see. Ashesha agaharam. The first chanting only destroys all the sins. Vartamanam cha yatpam yadbhutam yadbhavishyati. Whatever sins were performed in the past, present and future, everything is destroyed. Govinda anala kirtana. By chanting this thing. So therefore, there is no mention of time span after chanting the first name, first time, it is not very clearly mentioned. So therefore, everything, including the root cause of the sin, was destroyed the very first time Ajamil chanted the holy name. Then the very natural question arises, okay, if you are speaking so confidently, then why did he remain attached to committing that sin again? So two reasons that are given Vishwanatha Thakur. When a sadhak is seen to commit forbidden activities, how do you understand? Even though he has taken up to the process of bhakti, he is chanting the holy name, still traces of sin are seen in him. Two explanations that Shri Vishnu Chakradakur gives. First explanation is, oh, this is due to the inertia of conditioning. Prabhupada gives the example of fan. Fan has been switched off, but due to the inertia of motion, it keeps rotating for a while. It will stop anyway. That is one explanation. Second explanation is, sometimes Bhakti Devi, in order that the other lower philosophies like Karmakanda don't get completely uprooted, she allows sinful inclinations to continue in a devotee. So it is due to the personal intervention of Bhakti Devi. She allows sinful inclinations to continue in that devotee. But later, towards the end, by hiding that devotee from everyone's eyes, the Bhakti Devi may directly take him back to Goloka Vrindavan. Okay. These are the two explanations that is given. So then, an insight into the offenses. So someone may say, look, all that you are saying seems very, very nice. But why can't you just accept that there is an element of exaggeration in whatever you are telling? So, you know, this certainly seems like exaggerated praise. So then Srila Vishnu Jagadakur quotes many, many verses to explain that, you know, this kind of an understanding where you interpret the holy name, the glories of the holy name, or interpret the glories of bhakti, or call that this is exaggerated praise, is a serious offense. Tatartha vado harinamni kalpanam. It's a serious offense. So such a person falls to hell. So many verses are quoted, right? And he says that, look, when Shukadev Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, gave the option of atonement, prayaschitta, immediately Parikshit Maharaj rejected it by telling this is like an elephant taking bath. Kuchit nivartate abadra, kuchit charati tatpunaha. Prayaschittam ato apartam manye kunjar shauchavat. What kind of solution are you giving? I have seen people who accept this atonement, they perform atonement, they refrain from sinful activities for a while, but after some time they are again seen to engage in sinful activities. So I reject this atonement because this is like an elephant taking bath. But when Shukadeva Goswami offers the option of bhakti, kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana, even though such symptoms are seen in devotees also. Devotees also sometimes tend to refrain from performing sinful activities, but other times they succumb to the same sinful activity. Parikshit Maharaj did not reject that offer. Which means Parikshit Maharaj definitely knew that the statements glorifying the holy name, the statements glorifying the holy name's capacity to destroy the sinful tendencies is not exaggerated praise. Because if he thought it was exaggerated praise, he would have rejected the path of bhakti also, but he did not reject. Then someone may say, oh, if the holy name is so powerful, then everyone should get liberated immediately. So in response to this, Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says, oh no, don't worry about it. The holy name, just like a fruit bearing tree, waits till the, even though it is capable of giving fruits, it waits till the fruit bearing season to actually give fruits. So it will not give fruits immediately at any season, right? So similarly, the holy name also waits for the right time to show effect. And in some cases, the holy name may show no effect because it does not want to disturb the faith of the karmakandis. Na buddhi bedam janayed agyanam karma sangina. This principle is applied. So that name, but sometimes the name takes the offenseless chanter back to his abode. Okay. So then the question arises, okay, I will not interpret the holy name. I agree. You are telling the holy name is so powerful. But the karma yogis also chant the holy name. The jnana yogis also chant the holy name. The ashtanga yogis also chant the holy name. The bhakti yogis also chant the holy name. So if the holy name is so powerful, then if a karma yogi performs a forbidden activity, he should also not go to hell. A jnana yogi should also not go to hell. An ashtanga yogi should also not go to hell. And a bhakti yogi should also not go to hell. But if the holy name is not so powerful, then even the bhakti yogi who chants the holy name should go to hell for committing forbidden activity. What is the correct understanding? He says, no, the bhakti yogi will not go to hell if he avoids the, if he does not consciously commit these offenses. But the karma yogi, jnana yogi, ashtanga yogi, they cannot avoid offenses at all. At least they cannot avoid the eighth offense. Considering chanting of the holy name to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities. Because the karma yogi, jnana yogi, ashtanga yogi, they are not even putting the holy name on the same pedestal as karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. They are putting the holy name on a lower pedestal because they are having more faith in karma, jnana yoga and less faith in bhakti. So that is a serious offense. So therefore, just like a wealthy merchant is capable of helping out his servant in any way by giving money, but if the servant is an offender, the merchant is not obliged to reciprocate with the servant. So in the same way, the holy name is not obliged to reciprocate, even though the holy name has all capacity. Because the devotee does not consciously commit any of these offenses, he refrains from these offenses. The holy name does not send devotee to hell. The karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis don't even realize that it is an offense. They keep on offending. They put bhakti on a lower pedestal all the time. So therefore, such people, they will have to suffer in hell if they commit sinful activities. Okay. So then, but nevertheless, Bhakti Devi is very compassionate. Even though the karma yogis, jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis put her on a lower pedestal, but still, because at least as a secondary path, they accept bhakti, Bhakti Devi allows them to get the result of karma, jnana and yoga. Okay. But even then, they should avoid the other offenses. Some people say that, if only I had not become a devotee, I would have also chanted the holy name like Ajamil and gone back to Godhead. No, this is not at all true. Okay. The problem of offenses, the principle of the offenses apply equally to the karmis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis and materialists, all of them. Even if they offend a Vaishnava, they will not get the result of their own practice. Karma yoga will not deliver them the result of karma yoga if they are offending Vaishnavas, if they are offending bhakti shastras, if they are offending the shastras, like that. So therefore they should go to hell. So therefore the karma yogis should go to hell. Okay, I see a hand up. I generally pause at the end. Is that okay? Because I still have some material to cover. Can I take the question towards the end if it's okay? If not okay, you can please type on the chat box and let. Okay, the hand is still up. Then maybe I should take the question then. Should I? Okay, I will take the question then. Yes. Okay, maybe not. I don't know. Okay, I think I will pause till the end, please, because I have some material to cover. Let me please cover. If you have a question, you can please type in the chat box. I will take it towards the end, please. I request. Okay, so but someone may say that okay, you say that if karma yogis, if people with karma adhikar should go to hell for sinful activities, what was Ajamil? Ajamil, before he met the prostitute, was a brahmana, and it is Bhagavatam itself very clearly says that he had karma adhikar, he was performing all the karma properly. So therefore, Ajamil, for committing sins, he should go to hell. So the explanation that Shilvishna Chakidakur gives is no. Ajamil, yes, no doubt he had karma adhikar, but when he took when he came in touch with the prostitute, when he gave up all the when he gave up all the dharmic activities and he started performing all the sins, he lost his karma adhikar actually. He lost his brahminical position, he lost his karma adhikar, so he became a clean slate. So he has no karma adhikar, no bhakti, no jnana adhikar, nothing. And when he names his son Narayana, so the first time he chants Narayana, he all sins are destroyed. Then subsequently, his chanting created more and more Ajnata Sukriti, and at which some point matured into qualification for Bhakti Shraddha. And then what happened? So it became so he became qualified for bhakti. So he lost his karma shraddha and he gained bhakti shraddha actually. So therefore there was no commission of eighth offense on the from the side of Ajamila like that. So then it is mentioned that so according to the degree of bhakti, the destruction of offenses will happen. So for devotees, to the extent one progresses on the path of bhakti and gives up the offenses, to that extent the holy name will act. Like that, you know, that is summarized here. But for those who are completely free of offenses, there are only two stages. This is one point that Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says that, you know, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Adav Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Nartanivritti, Nishtha Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava Prema. These nine stages are there because the practitioner is not free of offenses. But if chance someone has no offenses, then there are only two stages, he says. One is chanting the holy name and then attaining Vaikuntha. There are no intermediate stages. And the case of Ajamil was the case of Ajamil was more or less on that platform. Not completely though, but more or less on the platform. He was almost free of offenses. So therefore, you know, he did not go through the other stages. Okay. So, but still one has to avoid all the offenses. And then there was a discussion about the need of the guru. So we will skip those sections. So now we will move on to the subsequent explanations. So then the Vishnu Dutas continue. Nanishkritairuditairbrahmavadibhis Vishuddhyatyagavanmrutadibhih Yatharernamapadairudadhis Shloka. So they say that Yagavan, a sinful person is not so much purified Nishkritaihi. By abundant performance of atonement, he is not so much purified. Vratadibhi, or by performing various vows, he is not so much purified. Brahmavaduditaihi, as mentioned by Manu and others who are the compiler of Dharma Shastras. You know, by whatever atonement, the best of the atonement Dharma Shastras may recommend, by performing unlimited times such atonements, one is not so much purified. Tata Vishuddhati, to the extent that he is purified by Harer Nama Padaihi Udahritai, by chanting even some portions of the names of the Lord. Why? तत् उत्तम श्लोक गुण उपलम्बकम, बिकॉज चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम produces realization of his qualities. Therefore, it is much more powerful than any of the karmakandiya atonements which are recorded by the Dharma Shastras. Okay. So, the name is described in two verses as most excellent, even for acting as atonement for all the greatest of sins. So, nama padaihi means just by some indications of the name, such as calling out for the sin, sankirtyam, parihasyam, like that. Okay. So the name should be chanted, but the mind may be attentive or inattentive. Even by inattentively calling, even that has effect. He may be sinful without even following karma or other scriptural processes. Okay. So he may be a sinful person or a sinless person, it does not really matter. And not only does the name uproot sin completely, so destruction of sin is a secondary result of chanting the holy name, but one realizes the Lord's qualities, beauty, power, sweetness. Nama makes one realize Rupa, Guna and Leela, you know, gradually. At the stage of Nishta, Nama reveals Rupa, at the stage of Ruchi, it reveals Guna, and at the stage of Asakti, it reveals the Leela. Or another meaning is as follows. But how can grave sins which are destroyed only great austerities and vows be destroyed by casual chanting of the holy name? How can grave sins be destroyed by casual chanting of the holy name? Because yad uttama shloka guna upalambakam. Because the name indicates the power of the Lord. Okay. Because this is not anyone's name. This is the name of the Supreme Lord. So, and he is most powerful. Yad, that is another meaning of Yad Uttama Shloka Guna Upalambaka. Okay. The Vishnu Dutas continue. Naikantikam taddi krite pi nishkrite mana punas davati cheta satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam hare guna anuvadakkalu sattva bhavanaha. So, he says that krite nishkrite api manaha punaha asatpate davati. Even after performing atonement, the mind runs behind sense gratification. Tat ekantikam karma nirhatma abhipsatam. Therefore, one who desires complete destruction of not just even sinful inclinations, if one desires complete destruction of even sinful inclinations. Harehe guna anuvadaha kalu sattva bhavana. Continuous chanting of the qualities of the Lord is the only means of purification. Of course, here one thing I want to, many times, you know, the word anu. Anu indicates continuous. Okay. Anu indicates continuous. As in anushilam, right? Anushilanam means continuous engagement in Krishna consciousness. As in uttama bhakti, you know, anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma denavritam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. So we may act, in that case I cannot overcome. I cannot be purified because I am not continuously chanting. So now we have to understand how this word continuous should be understood in a sadhaka's life. Okay. Sadhaka's life can be divided into three parts. You know, we will take a pie chart. You know, it can be divided into three parts. Part one, part two, part three. Okay. So what is part one? Part one is directly engaged, direct engagement in Krishna conscious activities. Okay. Two is planning to engage or improve one's Krishna consciousness. Okay. First is direct engagement in Shravanam Kirtanam. Second is we may utilize some time to engage directly or improve our Krishna consciousness. And the third is actually to firefighting. When the sadhaka is engaged in dealing with the anarthas which are stopping him from continuous engagement in Krishna consciousness. Lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, pride. Sometimes he falls, sometimes he fights back, and then sometimes he plans to overcome that. So continuous engagement for a sadhaka means one or two or three. Okay. Pure engagement in one or two is possible for those who have crossed Anarthana Vritti and reached the Seshta, Ruchi, Asakti, etc. But for sadhakas who are below, also, you know, dealing with the anarthas which are you know, stopping him from continuous engagement in Krishna consciousness, that should also be accounted for. Otherwise, it would mean like Uttama Bhakti is not possible for sadhaka, it's not possible for Vaidhi sadhakas at all. That is not true. Even Vaidhi sadhakas practice Uttama Bhakti only. So therefore, the word Anu or continuous should be understood in a more holistic way rather than an impractical way. So then it would mean like, you know, Uttama Bhakti is not possible till you reach Nishta, you know, which is not true. Right. So in this verse, it says that, you know, the kind of atonement or purification that is possible through any amount of atonement is impossible. You know, the kind of atonement or purification that is possible through practice of bhakti is not possible through any amount of performance of, you know, these kind of atonements. So the Yamadutas or the people may say, oh, why do you criticize committing sin after doing atonements? You devotees are also sin. When you devotees commit sin after performing bhakti, it is biting of a snake without any teeth. Okay, that will go away eventually. The sinful desire will. When we dharmic people, when we commit some even a small mistake, that is like elephant taking bath. You have the same problem. We have the same problem. Sometimes we also succumb to sinful desires. When we succumb, it is elephant taking bath. But when you succumb, it is like the biting of a snake with broken fangs. It has no effect. I mean, why can't you have same yardstick? Why this kind of a different yardstick? One yardstick for you and one yardstick for us. So we will say that even when after we perform atonements, when we succumb to sinful activities, that is also like biting off an snake with broken fangs. So here it is said, okay, if that is your case, then bring out the best of your dharma shastras. You quote from your own shastras. Bring your dharma shastras and show one verse which says that performance of atonement is capable of destroying the sinful desires. Show one verse and we are willing to accept it. But there is absolutely no verse. But there are so many unlimited verses which very clearly says that chanting of the holy name destroys sinful desires. Just that it is a gradual destruction. You know, Madhurya Kadambini explains that there are five stages. Ekadesha Vartini, Bahudesha Vartini, Praiki, Purna, Atyantiki. So Anarthana Vritti or destruction of unfavorable desires, sinful desires is gradual. You know, there are five stages of destruction which starts from Adat Kriya till Prema. It is a gradual destruction of Anarthas. But it does happen. That is why Chit Maharaj did not reject the path of bhakti, even though the same symptom of commission of sinful activities after refraining from it is seen in devotees also, especially in the early stages. So therefore, they say, अतैनं मा पनयत कृताशेष निष्कृतम् यदसौ भगवन् नाम म्रियमाणः समग्रहीत। सो हियर दे से सो यू कैनॉट टेक अजामिल, ही हैज परफॉर्म्ड कंप्लीट अटोनमेंट। यू नो व्हाट इज द प्रूफ? द प्रूफ इज दैट ही चैंटेड द होली नेम एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ। How is it possible for a person to chant the holy name at the time of death unless he is sinless? Because Bhagavad Gita says, Yesham to antagatam pakam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanta moha nirmukta bhajante mam vrata. So only a person and antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. Very clearly Bhagavad Gita says that you know, at the end, if one is able to only when antagatam papam, he can chant you know, bhajante mam dridavrata. So dridavrata bhajan is possible only if one is free of sinful inclinations. So Ajan was free, otherwise at the time of death how could he chant the holy name? Because to chant the holy name at the time of death needs real dridavrata bhajan. So therefore thus by the appearance of the name or its non-appearance when dying, one can infer the presence or absence of offenses to the name. So if offenses are still present, one will not be able to chant the holy name above death. If he is chanting the holy name at the time of death, then it means he is free of offenses. This is the proof. Then, Sanketyam Parihasyam Va Stobam Helanam Eva Va Vaikunta Namagrahanam Asheshaga Haram Viduhu. Here they say that one need not even have faith to chant the holy name. Even without faith, like Ajamil chanted for his son, that is called a Sanketyam. Parihasyam means in a joking way. In other such ways also, if one chants, the holy name is capable of, as long as it is free of offenses, the holy name can deliver the results. Okay. And there is a fifth type. पतितः स्खलितो भग्नः संदष्टस्तप्त आहतः इति अवशेनाः पुमान् नार्हति यातना। इवन इफ अ पर्सन चैंट्स द नेम ऑफ द लॉर्ड इन द मोस्ट यू नो हेल्पलेस सिचुएशन, लाइक व्हेन ही इज फॉल अ क्लिफ और व्हेन ही इज मीटिंग विद एन एक्सीडेंट और समथिंग लाइक दैट, इवन एट दैट स्टेट इफ वन चैंट्स द होली नेम, इवन सच अ पर्सन इज नॉट फिट टू गो टू हेल एंड सफर पनिशमेंट। बट समवन मे से, but how can one small chanting of the holy name be so potent to overcome the offenses of great sins? So he says, gurunam cha lagunam cha guruni cha lagun prayaschittani papmanam gyatvoktani maharshibhi. No doubt if you go to a karmakandi astrologer or something, they will see, oh, big offense, big prayaschitta, small offense, small price chitta, like that. But holy name is not like that. For big offense, one holy name. For big sin, one holy name. Small sin, one holy name. For one sin, one holy name. For multiple sins, one holy name. Why? Because the holy name is not an ordinary thing. It is just like, you know, no ordinary person can pull a complete sea and drown it in a river. But if that person is Balramji, using his plow, he can pull the whole of Hastinapur and drown it in Yamuna. It is possible for Balramji, it is not possible for any ordinary person. So therefore, no ordinary prayaschitta or atonements is capable of destroying all those kinds of sins. But the holy name is no ordinary thing. To think that the holy name is like any other ordinary karmakandiya prayaschitta is like committing the eighth offense, because the holy name is yad uttama shloka gunopalambakam. It has the same power as Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. Abhinnatvad namanamino. Right? Then he says, taistha nagani puyante tapodana vratadibhi najam tad hridayam tad api ishangri sevaya. So again he's summarizing here, you know, whatever amount of austerity, charity, vows, etc. That you may perform may destroy the sins, but it has no ability to destroy the root of the sin, which is sinful desire, but that can be destroyed by api ishangri sevaya, by serving the lotus feet of the Lord by bhakti. And one of the chief means of practicing bhakti is to chant the holy name. Agyana datava gyana uttama shloka namayat sankirtitam agam pumso dahet edo yatanalah. Even though you may say that Ajamil chanted without any knowledge that he was calling the name, but that knowledge is not needed. Still the holy name is so powerful that it can destroy, just like fire destroys dry grass, all the sins can be destroyed. And he gives an example. Yatagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadurchaya ajanatopi atmagunam kuryan mantropi urdha. Just like if even though according to Ayurveda, one needs some basic level of faith for the Ayurvedic treatment and medicines to work. Okay. But even such a kind of treatment, if there is a very, very powerful medicine, let's say a very powerful laxative, okay, even if the person who is taking that medicine, does he may not have faith in that medicine, but still it will work. So the holy name is that kind of a powerful medicine. That is why it is said yatagadam viryatamam. Agadam means medicine, viryatamam means very, very powerful. Just like a very, very powerful medicine, even when taken without any knowledge, it works. So similarly, the holy name is such a powerful medicine that even when one does not have faith in the holy name, it will produce its effect. And it will definitely produce immediate effect if especially the person chants without any offense. Like that. So then Ajamil, after speaking in this te evam suvinirniya dharmam bhagavatam nripa tam yamya pasha nirmuchya vipram mrityor amumuchan. So after presenting the pure devotional principles so beautifully, the Vishnu Dutas released Ajamil from the Yamapasha, from the rope. Iti pratyudita yamya duta yatvantikam yamaragnya yatasarvam achachakshur arindama. After being dismissed so, powerfully in this way, the Yamadutas back to Yamaraj and they started explaining everything. In the meantime, having been released Yamapash, Ajamil now became free of fear and he had to speak. He offered his obeisances to the Vishnu Dutas and he wanted to speak something. Right? But as soon as the Yamadutas realized that Ajamil wanted to speak to them, because he had not yet become completely qualified to go back to Vaikuntha, so he was not qualified to speak to them. So immediately they left. Okay. So here, even though Ajamil had some remaining time left because of the sins, Ajamil actually had a long time. Okay. But because of commission of serious sins, slowly his lifespan in this life also started decreasing. Okay. According to the natural laws. Knowing this, the servants of Yama began pulling his body. So therefore they came and they started taking Ajamil back. This time was designated as his time of death, but actually because of the destruction of his sins, his life did not end at that time. But because of the thing of the holy name, even though according to the Dharma Shastras, his lifespan reduced to 88 years. But when he chanted the name, immediately that 12 or more year he had lost due to the sins, they got reinstated back. So which the Yamadutas did not know. Thus, the Vishnudutas disappeared since he still had time left. So then Ajamil goes to, Haridwar and yeah, he will go to Haridwar and he will complete his whole, they will go back. And in the next section, we saw that in the last few days, you would have seen Ajamil's lamentation, oh, with uncontrolled senses, I have fallen into a miserable condition by which I tried my status as a Brahmana, and so on. And Prabhupada very beautifully. So we will, for the next few minutes, I will just quickly talk on the subject matter of bhakti, repentance and prayaschitta. Okay, this topic, very quickly I will touch on this topic. But Srila Prabhupada in the previous purport, yesterday His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj would have spoken on this topic. Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport when Ajamil was lamenting in this way. So Prabhupada writes, this is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual. This regret is very essential actually. The Vishnu Dutas had given Ajamil the chance to become a pure devotee, and the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Not only should one give up the past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. Very beautiful presentation, Prabhupada writes. So now, we will see this theme that a sense of regret of his past is natural for a devotee, but one should not allow the regret to consume one's enthusiasm for bhakti. So this is very beautifully summarized in two verses in the 11th canto, very famous verse. This talks about the early stages of sadhana bhakti till one reaches the stage of nishtha. So this is a description of the early stages of a sadhaka till one reaches the stage of nishtha. So what are the symptoms of person? Jata shraddho matkatasu nirvinna sarvakarmasu veda dukkatmakam kaman parityage api anishvaraha tato bajeta mam prita shraddalu dridanishchaya jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhaya. So here he says, jata shraddho matkatasu. So such a person has awakened faith in the narrations of my glory. He has pure devotional faith. Nirvinna sarvakarmasu. He is disgusted with all material activities. He has no faith in Kalyana Yoga, etc. And Veda Dukkatmakam Kaman, he also knows that all sense gratification eventually leads to misery. It's not that the sadhaka is unaware. But the problem is, Parityaya Api Anishvaraha. He is not always able to renounce all sense gratification. Sometimes he succumbs to it. So Krishna tells to such a devotee, Tato Prita. Prita means, please remain happy. Happy means, don't allow guilt to consume you. Okay. Be happy means, be enthusiastic in Krishna conscious. Don't allow your guilt or regret to eat your enthusiasm. Mam bhajeta, continue worshipping me. Okay. Shraddhalur dhrida nishchaya means, with faith. Don't doubt the process. I have been chanting for so long, but still my sinful desires are not going. Maybe the process does not work. Don't doubt the process. Dhrida nischaya. Try to slowly increase your determination. I will be more determined to say no to sense gratification next time. Like that. Shraddhalu dhrida nischaya. And jushamanascha tan kaman. So even though he sometimes may succumb to sense enjoyment, dukko darkamscha garhayan, knowing that eventually this will lead to suffering, my devotee sincerely repents. So here, garhayan means repentance and prita means happy. So this is not, so which means, you know, Krishna does not want that repentance to eat away the enthusiasm for happy devotional service. Not that a devotee becomes shameless, but at the same time, he does not allow guilt to consume him completely. So, because Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction to Sadhaka in 24 limbs, he says, one of the absolute important thing is shokadi avashavartita. The first 20 limbs, which are mentioned to be non-negotiable limbs, Srila Rupa Goswami says in the 16th limb, as Shokadi Avashavartita, one should not be controlled by lamentation or other extreme emotions. Because when we allow these feelings of regret to cross a limit, any extreme emotions take our discrimination and determination away from practicing pure bhakti. So he quotes this verse from Padma Puran. Shokamarshadibir bhavair krantam yasya manasam katam tatra mukundasya spurti sambhavana bhavet. So he says, how is it possible? Katam mukundasya spurti sambhavana bhavet. How is it possible for Mukunda to appear tatra in the mind? Yasya manasam, of a person whose mind is shoka amarshadibir bhavaihi akrantam. How can thoughts of Mukunda appear in the mind of a person which is afflicted with extreme emotions like lamentation, anger, and other such emotions? So one should consciously ensure, while regret is very important, regret for one's sinful life is a classic symptom of a sincere sadhaka. But enthusiasm is also an equally classic symptom of a sincere sadhaka. So not one at the cost of other. Both should parallelly be there. That is the point. Okay. But having said that, this deep regret over one's past consciousness is a symptom of progress, especially at the stage of Ruchi in Madhurya Kadambini. This mood is very beautifully described. We will read these are the symptoms of a person who has reached the stage of Ruchi. He says, oh friend, giving up the nectar of Krishna name, why are you engaging yourself in pursuits for security and enjoyment which are so hard to attain? So he is speaking like this. What can I say? So someone may say, oh, who are you to tell me? You think you are so free? So the person at the stage of Ruchi says, oh, what can I say? I am unfortunate, for I am the lowest criminal. Even though I have received the mercy of the spiritual master, I have not understood its proper value. Instead, I have been wandering everywhere, and in that way, I have wasted my life. Keeping a precious jewel tied in the hem of my cloth, I have been searching out a cracked cowry, a spot of false happiness between the banks of the river of material engagements. You know, even though I have a very precious jewel in my pocket, I have been searching for, useless things. Not practicing any anga of bhakti simply manifested lack of energy. Of course, this is, he is thinking about his past life. So deceitful I am. Such is my sense of taste that I lick up acrid tasting profane gossip like nectar and remain apathetic to hear the names and qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Whenever I hear about gossip, my ears stand on end. But whenever I want to hear about any qualities pastime, I go to sleep. How unfortunate I am. When I start to hear about the Lord, I comfortably fall asleep. And at the opportunity for vulgar discussion, I prick up my ears and become wide awake. In this way, I have contaminated the assembly of devotees and everything else. Old and bent as I am, what sinful act have I not performed simply for the satisfaction of my insatiable belly? I do not know what type of hell I will have to suffer for all my activities. So, in this way, devotee will despair over his previous state of consciousness with a taste of disgust. So just this regret is very natural for a devotee. But having said that, the later part of, the earlier part of the Madhurya Kadambini, the earlier part of this chapter describes that how this person, he cannot sleep at night. He is continuously chanting. A person at the stage of Ruchi has so much taste for the holy name, the holy katha, that along with the regret, he has tremendous enthusiasm for continuous practice of devotional service. So this is the point. So we should not take, regret is important, but enthusiasm is equally important. Regret should not consume the enthusiasm, and enthusiasm should not make us shameless also. So both. Anyways, so how is it that one develops this ability to, even though one has progressed so much, how is he able to see himself as becoming, as being so fallen? That comes from purification. Yata yatatma parimrijyateso matpunyagata shravanabhidanaihi tatastata pasyati vastu sokshmam chakshur yataivanjana samprayuktam. To the extent that the heart becomes purified, so just like a very, very dirty house with lot of chairs and big, big things, you know, when it is filled with all kinds of garbage, big, big garbage, one will not be able to see the fine dust, finer dust, which is there. But when the bigger dust, when the bigger articles have been completely cleansed, then one will develop, one will get the capability of seeing the finer dust. So similarly, the more one progresses, the more one develops the ability to finer dust of anarthas within his heart. That is why very, very the more one progresses, the more one genuinely feels regret for his fallen situation. This is just a point that I wanted to touch. I will not go into details of this. But having said that, I will just quickly end this topic by telling that even though we have to have a feeling of regret for committing, for living a sinful life, but a devotee should never try to rectify any sinful action through these kind of karmakandiya prayaschitta. That is completely refuted by our acharyas. You know, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he says, ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate na karmanam akarana desha bhakti adhikarinam nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tu na uchitam iti vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. He says that the person qualified for bhakti, which means one who has adau shraddha, okay, is at fault for failing to perform the important limbs of bhakti, the first 20 and the last 5. If he is not performing, he is at fault. But na karmanam akaranat, he is not at fault for failing to perform the essential duties of varna and ashrama. And if by chance he happens to commit some sin, prayaschittam tu na uchitam, he should not try to rectify that sin by performing karmakandiya prayaschittam. He should regret and enthusiastically practice bhakti, and that bhakti only acts as atonement. He should not try to rectify his commission of sinful activities by performing karmakandiya prayaschitta. That is not meant for devotees. Okay. Anyways, so there are some proofs for this, where, you know, one very famous proof is sarvadharman parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami, Krishna says. I will free you from all sins. And elsewhere, in the 11th canto also it is said, vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. If some or other, a person engaged in devotional service, engages in some sinful activity, need not perform any karmakandiya prayaschitta to remove it. By his sincere practice of bhakti, the Lord who is present within the heart immediately dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. The Lord situated in every heart immediately takes away the reaction to such action. So therefore, even though repentance is important, but rectification of the offense should be done by engagement in Krishna consciousness, and one should not resort to karmakandiya prayaschitta to remove this, to rectify the offenses. Okay, this is one last point I just wanted to touch. I'm sorry, I will now pause for some quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add. Please go ahead and raise your hands and we will take it.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanva Pranam. Thank you again for your services, Prabhu. Again, a very beautiful class. I love the overview of the chapter and how you explain it. Just by seeing one class, I think someone should understand whole pastime. And so beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I won't take further time, Prabhu, because there are already a few hands raised. Mother Gail, please.
I will do one thing. Let's follow one procedure to make it little cumbersome. I will only unmute devotees.
Okay, as you wish.
I will only unmute devotees. I will call so that multiple muting, unmuting can be avoided. Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, as always, amazing, amazing. Okay, with the fan analogy for why a sinful person continues, or a person who has performed devotional service, right, due to the inertia of his conditioning, he will continue to sin. So
he may.
I do understand. Excuse me?
He may. It's not necessary.
He may. Yeah, sure. So I do understand the concept of inertia, but I'm still not clear why this happens, because, as we say, devotional service uproots the tendency or the proclivity for sinful
gradually.
Activity.
Gradually. That's gradual. That's why we discussed, right? Ekadesha Vartini, Bahudesha Vartini, Vaiki, Purna, Atyanti. Five stages. It's gradual. It's not immediate.
Okay.
So Anatanivritti is gradual. Yeah.
Okay. And also devotional service, when we say as long as one has not committed offense, right, the result will be at least liberation, isn't it?
Oh, if one has never committed an offense, and if the residual, if there is no residue of offense, then by chanting the holy name, immediately he will get bhava, actually. Not just liberation, immediately bhava. So this is in Bhaktirasam Sindhu, there is a verse that duruha adbhuta viryesmin shraddha durestu panchake yatra swalpapi sambandha saddi bhava janmani, he says, Srila Rupa Goswami, that these five limbs are so potent that if someone takes up to even these five, if someone is completely free of offenses, then even a little bit touch with any of these five limbs immediately takes one to the stage of bhava, like that, he says.
Okay, I lost one syllable. You said that if one is completely free of offense and any residual what?
No residual sins. No residual offenses are there. If there is no residue of offenses, then immediately they attain bhava, actually.
Okay, in Ajamil's case, you use the word like practically free, as if almost free of offense.
So, almost, yeah. Because if he was completely free, then immediately he must have been qualified to attain bhava. But he did perform some sadhana in Haridwar and eventually attained it.
So we don't know what residual offense was there, right? Why he
not
had
mentioned.
To...
Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned a few reasons why there might be some delay in delivering the fruit of one's devotional service. And one of the reasons was that, I guess Krishna does not want to destroy the faith.
The lower philosophy.
Of lower philosophies, like karma yoga. So, how would that actually happen? How would that destruction of faith happen if
because if Because if such people see all their lives, they want to, common man, he wants to, generally, he has only two reasons. One is destruction of suffering, getting happiness. But when such people see that as soon as someone takes up the bhakti, immediately all their suffering immediately stops. So what these people would do, they would actually immediately give up their practice of karma and take up to bhakti without essential faith. Because the faith in bhakti comes through association of devotees. And gradually by accumulating lot of agyata sukriti, they will get faith in bhakti. So, but such people without having that faith, when they see that as soon as they chant the holy name, immediately sin is going away, you know, his suffering is going away. When they see that, what they will do, they will give up what they are qualified for and take up to bhakti, which they are not qualified for. And if you practice bhakti without faith, the process will not work, actually. It happened in the case of that person. He was free of offenses and also he had the requisite faith. So therefore, externally, it should happen in such a way that people with who do not have faith in bhakti, who has lower faith, that faith should not be destroyed in that sense. Is that relevant, Mantaji?
So if a person takes up bhakti just because they want to be free of sinful reactions, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't have faith in bhakti.
Yeah, because faith in bhakti develops through accumulation of agyata sukriti. They don't have that agyata sukriti. So how will they take up the bhakti? They may perform the limbs of bhakti. They will not have the faith in bhakti. So that problem is there. You can unmute yourself and speak.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, the people who perform agyata sukriti, they're doing it unknowingly, the devotional service, so they too can be said to not have faith in bhakti, right?
Yeah, but that agyata sukriti has to reach a threshold. It has to reach a threshold to transform into faith. So in the case of these people who have faith in karma, they may, by seeing the glories of, they may get some agyata sukriti, but that agyata sukriti may not reach the threshold where it transforms into faith. So in that case, it will not work, actually.
But can't they be given the chance to perform devotional service to the, so that eventually, you know, that threshold can be reached?
Oh yeah, they can perform bhakti without faith. Even bhakti, even the limbs of bhakti are performed without faith. It gradually leads to accumulation of agyata sukriti, which will eventually turn into faith. But till it actually reaches the threshold of faith, that activity is not considered to be devotional service. But even though it can give rise to agyata sukriti, so that person can continue performing, they will be allowed. Why would they not be allowed? They would be allowed to perform devotional service without faith. And without faith, when they perform devotional service, they will get some agyata sukriti, and which will eventually mature into faith later.
Well, yeah, so therefore, this is my argument for why, you know, the fruit of devotional service should be delivered immediately.
In that case, that would be forcibly, telling that the path that you are practicing is incapable of giving the result. So you should forcibly take up bhakti only. So this is like forcibly changing people by baiting them.
I don't see the force.
It is a force in one sense, like telling that the process that you are practicing is of no use. It is of, you know, no, you should essentially give up.
No, not telling them that it's of no use.
Just, you don't have to tell them. But they have been practicing to overcome suffering. Years and decades of practicing is happening. And here is a person who chants the holy name once and immediately gets all the result. So which means they will immediately lose faith in whatever they are practicing.
Yeah, that sounds like compassion to me. to show somebody the virtue of some other process over what this other useless process.
Yeah, but Krishna doesn't like to do that. Krishna leaves it to the devotees to gradually help them understand that. Krishna doesn't do that. Okay. Krishna doesn't like to do that.
Okay, this question will probably come back to you later.
Okay.
but thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Madhu. Okay. Anjana Gopika Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's a very, very, very inspiring class. Actually, all the classes, I really like your classes. Prabhuji, the things I know, really it's very difficult to come from the offenses, 10 offenses, one thing. And you were saying anartha nivritti is a gradual process. Is it coming out from the 10 offenses also gradual process, Prabhuji?
Well, one can come out of the commission of offenses quickly. But whatever, if you have committed some serious offenses, to come out of the effects of those offenses is gradual actually. Because of the anarthas, the aparadho anarthas, the anarthas which are born out of committing offenses, they are serious actually. So we can, future commission of offenses can be stopped immediately as soon as we know what constitutes offense. And if we take it very seriously and diligently, we can immediately stop committing future offenses. But the reactions of past offenses, their going away is actually slow. It is gradual. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, it makes sense, Prabhuji. Sometimes we are... And also that you are saying... Lamentation, Rupa Goswami is giving that glimpse of bhakti. And we should not over lament of the past or whatever happened. And we should also maintain our enthusiasm. But sometimes it happens, we because of the lamentation, we just regret or something, lament, and we just could not overcome, Prabhuji, you know. You could not maintain that enthusiasm. I mean, can you give some idea? I mean, it's very difficult.
Yeah, that is why we need well-intentioned, mature, loving association of devotees who are rooted in Siddhanta, who are rooted in the understanding of the Shastras, and understand that the gradual way in which the process works and can gently inspire us and pull us out of this kind of situation. So therefore, a live guide, friend who is mature enough, rooted in the understanding, but at the same time very compassionately disposed, and who has genuine affection for us, you know, we have to invest in developing that live relationship. Then it becomes very easy. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming in the call and giving your assistance. Very grateful, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hari Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Buddhanda.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, I have a small quick questions. Two questions, I think. We hear now, Prabhuji, what is the Nirvinanam, Karmashu, Nyasinam, Gyanesu? These are the qualifications for karma and jnana. Bhakti also have qualification of some faith is needed. So how come Ajamila, who doesn't have faith, got qualified to the Bhakti platform? This is one small question. Now, as you told before, that offenses, if one, it should go threshold, right? Some threshold of Agnya Sukriti is needed. But he doesn't even have that also, right? So how does he directly able to...
The acharyas say that even though he may not have had that faith, one very interesting qualification that Ajamil has, which is not directly mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but mentioned by our acharyas, is that he was free of offenses. So
if one doesn't do offenses, he can easily... These rules will not valid for him.
He immediately jumps. That is the glory of Ajamil, actually.
Okay. Prabhuji, one second question I have is, if holy name hides the symptoms sometimes, now what symptoms it's talking about? It's secondary qualities or it's something else?
Secondary qualities.
Okay. Prabhu, one last question is, if Karmakanda person, if the Karmakanda persons, in Karmakanda scriptures, there is no mention of devotees or devotion service. So he may not be well acquainted or well versed with the Bhakti scriptures, just like Yamadutas are confused. So how come if he do any aparad in the Bhakti realm, which may not be a serious aparad for the Karmakanda realm, how does the punishment will happen in the Karmakanda level or in the Bhakti realm? No, I just want to know that. Whether it's considered an offense in the Bhakti.
No, it is considered as an offense only. So, it's not that, how do we know? We have not studied the Karmakandiya scriptures. How do we know that those offenses are not mentioned in their scriptures?
Okay.
But
if they want to, if let's say I just have a small doubt here only, that they may not know who is Vaishnava and all those things, they don't know only in that sense, because they know the people around them only, of Karmakanda people only. They don't know the glories of Vaishnava.
Even to inappropriately behave with anyone is considered to, it's not considered to be a very pious activity, right? Even on the platform of piety, impiety, they are supposed to treat everyone nicely. So, along with that, the Vaishnavas are also covered, actually.
So now, here is the one, my question is the Prabhuji, that if let's say, now, if the two people are there whom they misbehaved, one happened to be Vaishnava, one happened to be a normal person. So, the reactions for both should be same for them, right? Or
no.
Because for
no.
a Vaishnava, we can... what I hear.
Yeah. Like that for many of the things, you know, for the... then you will say, excuse them for all their offenses which they committed before they came in touch with the scriptures also. So, you know, most of the things which they committed before they coming in touch with scriptures, they didn't know it was offense. So it's not like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Induleka Karuna Mataji. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mati.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. You already answered my question, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for this wonderful class. I leave you to answer the other questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Jyoti Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, my kind request to you is just locate me where I could get my answers, because the question might be in the depth. The very first question is, you said that chanting leads to increase the life, means the age of a person.
Oh, I will explain that. Actually, Ajamil had, let's say, 100 years of time according to his karma. So his
I got it. I was a little attentive and wrote the points. I just want to know that, is it applicable for us also, or for the pure devotees?
For us, the moment we take up to devotional service, our lifespan is not defined by karma at all. Our lifespan is defined by Krishna. So Krishna only knows.
Okay. The second question is, you said that Bhakti Shastras and Dharma Shastras, so means the common sense that we are in Kali Yuga. say, for example, one person is having parents in the hometown and then he has to leave for the job for the some city or something. So he cannot take care of his parents. So there will be, that is itself is adharma, right? And even if he performs the bhakti, then the adharma will follow him, because that is means very big offense. Offense in sense, it's not according to dharma. So he's breaking the rule of dharma and doing the bhakti, which is not also pure form. So in Kali Yuga, everything is happening. So it means how the bhakti will be, you know, the realm of bhakti is purified, or our practice is purified as per the realm of the bhakti, the standards of the bhakti.
Okay. So now, taking, if one does not take care of his parents, according to the Dharma Shastras, it is a sinful activity. You are right. But a devotee is not gauged based on Dharma Shastras at all. Okay. So, like for example, a commerce student will not be, you know, a commerce person, a commerce teacher will only correct the papers of a commerce student, and a science teacher will correct the papers of the science student. So the it's not that. So having said that, to take care of parents, elders, it very much falls within the realm of bhakti also. A devotee cannot say that now I am a devotee, so I will not take care of my parents because, you know, I am above the rules of dharma. Yes,
but he has to perform, earn for the livelihood, right? He has to earn for the living. Subsistence, just minimal, even if.
Yeah, so, he has to earn for the living. So?
Say for earning of living also in Kali Yuga, he has to buy a house or take a loan or some. He has to do something. He has to stay away from the parents. So he's not taking care of the parents. So,
well, it depends on the mode. It depends on the mode. See, when it comes to karma, it is cut. If you do it, you get it. If you don't do it, you don't get it. But when it comes to bhakti, you know, there is an understanding of the mood. So someone may be in a very, very, helpless situation where he's absolutely not able to take care of his parents. But at the same, he seriously wants to take care of his parents. But he's not able to adjust, you know, his profession and family and everything and take care of that. And he's sincerely repenting for it. So in that case, he will not be judged by the law of karma. According to law of karma, he has to be punished. But according to law of bhakti, Krishna sees the heart and he understands and he does the needful.
Okay. So, and can you define the enthusiasm? Because you were means you have repeated so many times that it should not overcome the means the regret should not overcome.
Enthusiasm to perform bhakti. You know.
Yeah.
You should not say, it's not that I am still not able to overcome my uncontrolled senses, thinking like that, you know, we regret. And while that time can be used for chanting the holy name, we keep on regretting like that. So, yes, we understand that, I made a mistake and I have to correct myself. But that does not mean that I become unenthusiastic in my, because the nature of regret and lamentation is born out of mode of ignorance. So when we allow it to slide into mode of ignorance, the nature of mode of ignorance is aprakasho apravrittischa. Apravritti means lack of enthusiasm to perform action. So one may lose one's enthusiasm to practice bhakti also. So one should be full. Regret is good to learn the lesson and move forward, but it should not be so much that it consumes our enthusiasm to practice devotional service like that.
Okay, Prabhuji. And the last question is, there is a flowchart of faith, right? The faith is very foundational when it comes to bhakti. Means if we are in Karmakanda or say learning the Dharma Shastras, say prior to coming to bhakti, we know some of the shastras or we read. But when it comes to bhakti, the faith is the foundational. So I don't know, is there any flow chart or say a structure of the bhakti where it flows from level zero to say some extent and then the pure.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly you are asking, what kind of flow chart, but Rupa Goswami has said Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartya Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. That's the flow chart that he gives. As to it starts with Shraddha, then one gets the inspiration to take association of devotees. In the association of devotees, one gets inspired to practice the limbs of devotional service. And when you practice the limbs of devotional service, gradually the anarthas go away. And when the anarthas go away, your bhakti becomes steady. And when you steadily practice bhakti, naturally you develop some taste for the limbs of devotional service. And when you perform the limbs of devotional service with great taste and absorption, it very quickly and naturally leads to absorption in the desire to please Krishna, which is asakti. Then eventually it leads to spontaneous devotional service on the level of bhava and prema. This is the flow chart that is mentioned.
Okay, so this is the constitution of the faith, right? Means this is how the faith develops from the zero. Please accept my humble and respectful obeisances, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I learned how to read from you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Sukakar Krishna Prabhu.
Very, very nice. Your classes are the most interesting. Why? Because you are expert in analyzing the analytical things of all these things, and you are also doing in a very elaborate way, excellent way. And it is a real bliss and a real blessing for the sinners, those who are past sinners. They'll get some hope by going through a flowchart and trying to work out. Last time, Prabhu, you had sent one in the Bhakti Sangha, you had complete. That was so useful. I had distributed many people, one fellow, my friend who is a devotee, was in Thailand. Now he is in Bombay. So he said, I have done some sins. Even after getting to this call, also I did. But now I am settled in Bombay and I am not doing. So today, when I send this, you will be sending the chart today also, Prabhu. You will make whatever you want.
Yeah.
Very your lifetime, Prabhu. So, what he will ask is, he has done, he knows, but he is my friend, so he just says he did. So, I said, Krishna knows and Guru Maharaj also will know. So, he's telling, how do I repent? Because I said, you have to go and cry to Krishna and tell to Krishna, because he knows. So, he said, whether he Ajamila, because he called the name and he got relieved. But he's saying, now we don't know, I'll be able to call him with the sins were so much. So what is the way that can be rubbed out? Today you told no, that we should have sentiments and should go and guilt should be there. At the same time, the enthusiasm of devotion life should not come down. So for that only I want to ask a solution. What is the...
Association of sincere devotees is the only solution though. Association of sincere devotees, when it is therein, comes out, when that is there, all good fortune, the doors of good fortune opens. If we have good association of devotees, that's the only solution.
He's having good association,
then he is protected.
But when he looks back the sin, he feels it is really a horrible thing, how getting a human body, it is being used as for a bodily concept. No, I know. At the time also I knew, but knowingly I did. So, will Krishna save me out? Because I know that I'm fallen. And,
I mean, as long as one is sincerely willing to overcome it, Krishna says, Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak. Sadureva Samantavya. Krishna says, I take responsibility of purifying you. You just come to me, worship me, whatever may be the impurity that you may be carrying, as long as you are willing to leave behind that baggage, I am willing to take care of you, purify you. So past is past, now you try to you know, from now you try to rectify yourself, try to worship me, and I will take care. That's what Krishna says.
So the solution is more absorbed chanting and lot of jeev daya, reading and explaining and helping others to.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Your classes are really, we look forward to your class because it's so detailed and it's deep and you are giving the notes. Important is to give everything for chart that really helps to, you know, help so many people all over the world.
Thank you, Shobo. Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add before we wind up for the day? Yes, Prahladananda Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. And as usual, the class was excellent. My question is that, you know, Shastra and even today's class, you said continuous chanting is one of the goals which we should try. And I'm trying that for last 1 year since I'm retired now. I try to do as much chanting as I can. I finish my 16 rounds as much, you know, faithfully as I could. But then when I drive, when I do other things in my house, outside this, I try to chant. And that's where I feel that, you know, I might be committing offenses. I always drive with one hand in mala and the other hand on the steering. So that's the time I think that I'm neglecting the although I'm loudly chanting and I have strict instruction for the family not to speak anything when I'm chanting. So is this a good practice to do, or are you I'm confused about this. So that was just my little question there, Prabhu.
Well, I would say you can probably give the chanting back to the one who is traveling with you. They can do the counting for you. You can do the chanting. So it's not safe for you, and it's not safe for.
No, I've been driving for years like that, and there's no mishap so far. You know, Lord Krishna's mercy. I have been driving in Africa and US all this.
Yeah, you can chant, Prabhu, but I mean, you have to keep a chanting bag anyway. You're chanting extra rounds, so you can always. You can always chant without chanting back, at least while you're driving. If it's
but is it going to give me some offenses like that? Yeah, that's what is my worry.
Most of the offenses are committed due to a not so favorable attitude. Mm-hmm. I guess your attitude is to please Krishna, right. And you're considering that, oh, is this an offense? Is this an offense? That put is the most important thing. So yeah, I mean, we are not supposed to sleep while chanting, but we can chant. If we have ourselves to chant even while sleeping, then that is not an offense, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, even though two things are happening there. So while chanting, you sleep, that is an offense, you know, inattentive chanting. But even while sleeping, if you chant, mm-hmm. you know, then that is very glorious, actually, that if you can continuously chant. So that mood of continuously chanting is very good. So for safety purposes, you don't have to necessarily use your chanting back to, you know, while driving, you know, if you can avoid that. That will be.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, I think we'll pause here. It's already quite late. I don't know.
Yes, Prabhu. It's quite late for your time. You know, devotees are still there listening to you, but your services are so many glories to your classes, Prabhu. So much work you do for us, Prabhu. It's just unbelievable how many charts you prepare for us. Like, what kind of preparation is that to give a 2 hours class, Prabhu?
I just have to be honest. Actually, I don't do much work because a lot of work I have already done, you know, before. So generally, I will just tell you how I prepare for Bhakti Sangha class or any Bhagavatam class for that. You know, most of the these notes for all these books, you know, I quoted from Madhuri Kadambini or Haridam Chintamani times. You know, I have already prepared these notes for teaching. It's all there. So what I do is I see the topic and I just relevant topics from different books, and it's already there in PowerPoint. So it doesn't take that long. So I cannot take the credit for that. And most of it is cut paste job only. It is not, none of it is what I have written. None of it is even my notes. Actually, these are direct commentaries. So this is all cut paste work. I cannot take any credit for this. So I just have to tell you, you know, you can glorify me for what I have done. Please do not glorify me for what is not due to me. Actually, it's all cut paste work only. It's not nothing great about it.
Prabhu, please continue doing cut and paste. That is bringing us near to Krishna. So please continue doing that. All glories to your classes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada for giving us a devotee like you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. So dear devotees, it's getting late. I already put in chat box, dear devotees, we have a chanting session starting in about 20 minutes. So if somebody wants to join again and do chanting, that will be very good too. So let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalaptaru vaishita kripa sindhu devata patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah grantra shrimad bhagavatam ki jai jagat guru shila prabhupada ji ki jai this grace balaram shakti prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you so much,
Prabhuji. Thank you so much, devotees. Thank you for attending. Thank you, Prabhu, for such a beautiful class again. Thank you for your services. Thank you for